Begin the current Tav Masechta Sanhedrin Dav Pei Aleph. Begin 6 lines down for the Tav of the Yomid. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which continues in a related discussion of the previous Mishnah, which was discussing if there's two different death penalties to give because there was a group of people that were mixed together. One was from the Neskalim, one was the Nesrafim. We spoke about giving the more severe or the less severe, which we said that since there ultimately is at least one person who cannot get the more severe, so they all get the less severe. So continuing related to the Mishnah says, Mishnah Schai B'Shtei Mises Besen, regarding an individual who's liable for two death penalties, so the halach is, Nidin B'Chamur, he can't be killed twice, so he gets the more severe of the two death penalties. Let's say, Ave Averish Neschai B'Shtei Mises, let's say he violates a sin. That sin itself, not just because he did two violations, the one violation that has in itself two death penalties, for example, one's mother-in-law, who is also an Esh Hashish, a married woman, because she's married to his father-in-law. So the halacha says the Tanna Kamma, Nidin B'Chamur, he gets judged by the more severe death penalty, which is that of his mother-in-law, which is Sreifa, or that versus Esh Hashish, which is only Chenik. Rabbi Yisem, he disagrees. He says, Nidin B'Zika HaRishayna Shabalov, that he gets judged by the first thing that pulls, which is the first one that relates to him as a sin, and not the second one, even if the second one might be more severe, as the Gemara will explain Rabbi Yisi's opinion. Now the Gemara asks, Pshita, the halacha of Mishnah is pretty obvious that he's going to get judged by the more severe death penalty, because he's also liable in that. How could we entertain to say that we should judge him on the more lighter death sentence? Do you think Ela is Guri Isker? Do you think he gains by violating another sin? In other words, if he would have not violated just the more severe death penalty, that's what he would have gotten. Now that he additionally violated another sin with it, so he's going to get the more lighter death penalty, how can we understand this halacha to even say the necessity of it? So Amar Rava, Rava explains, he says, most definitely, if he would come in front of us having already committed both sins, obviously we wouldn't have to say that he gets the more severe death penalty. What is our Mishnah talking about? When did we even have to tell you that he's going to get the more severe death penalty? He violated the lesser of the sins, which is a lower death penalty. And he already had the verdict handed down that he has to be executed, let's say, for chenek. Then he went and violated another sin, which is a greater death penalty, let's say that of sreifa. Now, you would have thought to say, that once the verdict has already passed down, that he already is going to be executed for the less severe death penalty, he's already a dead man. Now, before he's taken out to execute it, he does a sin that requires skila. That's it. You're not going to give him the more severe death penalty. He's already a dead person, and we're going to only give him the lesser of the two. That's the Chiddush of Mishnah. Even in that case, when he's already caught a dead man and he commits a more severe death penalty, we take him back, and then we prosecute him and execute him for the more severe death penalty. Now, Bayimene Avud, Rav Yisrael Bar Chama, Mirab Bar Nosni, says, Menoha Milti Dom Mirabanan. Where do we know this halacha that Rabbanan said that Mishnah is Chayiv, Shtei Mises is Besen, and someone is liable for two death penalties? Nidin B'Chamur gets the more severe death penalty, again, as we said before, even though he already was prosecuted and the verdict was handed down for the lesser of the death penalty, but if he does the more severe one, he's going to go ahead and be executed on the more severe. So that's, he answered him, D'chsiv, like it says, the pasuk in Yechezkel, it says, V'hoylid ben paritz, and he gives birth to a lawless son, Shevich dam, v'gaymer, who spills blood, etc. El haram achal, he eats to the mountains, and he defiles the wife of his friend. And to the filth he lifts up his eyes. What is that referring to? So explains the Gemara, when it says that he gives birth to a lawless son, he spills blood, means that he murders, that's besaif. So that individual is liable for the death penalty of being beheaded. Then when it says that he defiles the wife of his friend, that's a reference to a married woman of cohabiting with her, which is bechenik, punishable by strangulation. Then the pasuk says that to the filth he lifts up his eyes. That's a reference to avodah zarah that's called gilulim. What's that? That's beskila. That's by getting stone. And then it says afterward, it says, so such an individual, he will surely die. Damav ba'yeh, his blood will be on him. That refers to beskila. Ultimately, which death penalty is he going to get? Being stoned, because whenever it says in the Torah, stam demeim bam, their blood is on them, it means skila, which is the more severe of all death penalties. Now, as Rashi points out, that if it wasn't talking about that he already had the gemar din of the previous sins before that, then we wouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that he's going to, from all the death penalties, he's going to get a skila. because we know it's the most severe. Obviously, if it's saying that he's going to get skilas, even though the verdict was already handed down for chenek or for saif, but if ultimately he does, even as a dead man, a more severe death penalty of avodah zarah of skila, he's going to get dam of bayia, which is skila, as we see the source for that halacha. Even then, we're going to give him the more severe death penalty. On that source, the Gemara asks, Masik v'lar of Nachman by Yitzchak, he asks, how do you know? How do you know that's talking about chenek and saif, and ultimately, even though the Gemara din was, and you did skila, he's going to get skila? Emukulu b'skila, I could say and interpret that pasuk that all of those are deserving of the punishment of skila, and that's why he gets skila. But had the verdict had been handed down previously for chenek, he would only get chenek. How so? Because I could tell you when it says in the pasuk v'hayla ben parts that he gives birth to a lawless son, shevet dam, who spills blood, it's not referring to a murderer. Zeb ben sayer mer, it's referring to the wayward and rebellious son, which the Torah calls him a spiller of blood. Now, although he didn't kill anyone yet, he's just eat like a glutton, but it's because ultimately he's going to spill blood, and that's actually why he's killed at this point. As the Gemara said in the Afayim Bezim and Aleph, he's going to stand by the crossroads, and he's going to rob and murder people, where the Beskila, the Ben Sayyamur, gets Skila. So that's maybe what it's talking about. When it says, Eishas Re'eyu Time, that the wife of his friend he defiles, Zunaira HaMayrasa, the Beskila, that's referring to the betrothed girl, who there the Torah says, is Skila. And when it says Velegilulim Nasa Einav, and to the filthy lifts his eyes, Zovet Skechavim, the Beskila, that's referring to Avodah Zarah, that's Skila. So maybe they're all Skila, and that's why he gets Skila. So therefore, what's the Raya? And that answers the Gemara, Imkeim, if that would be the case, then my Kamashim on Yecheskel. Now, what would Yecheskel be teaching us by saying, oh, he's going to get Skila? Of course, they're all talking about Skila. Obviously, it's because we're, even though it was Chenik and Saif, but you're going to get Skila afterwards. And that says Gemara, no, Dilma Tarek Mahadr. Maybe Yecheskel was just repeating the halachas of the Torah. Maybe it wasn't b'mechadish anything. And that's the Gemara, Yom Kim, but if that would be the case, Iboy Leiladura, then they should have reviewed the Torah. Kehecha Dahadra Moshe Ben, just like Moshe Ben reviewed the whole Torah in Mishnah Torah. Why did he pick just this halacha? Obviously, he's not reviewing the Torah, and they must be telling us a Chiddush. Which Chiddush is this idea where even though he already was the Gemara Din for Saif and Chanuk, but if you do later after that the Gemara Din for Skila, more severe one, that's the halacha of our Mishnah that is going to be needed, Mechamura, that he'll get Skila. Continuing on this Psukim, Darsh Rav Ach Bar Chanina says, Ma'idach Siv, what does the Pasuk mean when it says earlier over there in Yechezkel, it says regarding the good side. This Pasuk we quoted was the bad child. What does it mean that it says over there, Elaharim Loi Achol, that he does not eat to the mountains? Because then the Pasuk concludes regarding that individual, it says, oh, the Tzadok, he's a righteous person, Choye Yichi, he will surely live. Contrary to the other woman we were talking about, that he will surely die. Which it sounds like the Pasuk is saying that he's a purely righteous person. Now the problem with that is that you can't say because he doesn't do these things like Elaharim Lo'achal, which the Gemara said before is like something regarding Takrubis Avodah Zarah, eating from Avodah Zarah in the mountains, that you can't say that that makes him into a righteous person if he's doing all these other types of sins, and only because he doesn't do these things is a tzaddik. So obviously says the Gemara that it doesn't mean literally as it says, which would sound like gross averis. If he doesn't do that, that doesn't make him a tzaddik. So what is it talking about that if he doesn't do these things, then he must be a purely righteous person? When it says, Elaharim le'achol, it means shle'achol b'schus avoisav. Harim is like hirim, parents. It means to say that he doesn't eat in the merit of his parents. He doesn't need their schusim because he's a chassid, he's a pious person. When it says, ve'inav le'nose el gilulu b'sisol, that he doesn't lift up his eyes to the filth of the Jewish people, that doesn't mean not doing avodah zarah. That doesn't make a person already a tzaddik. It means shle'halach b'koyim eskuf. It means he doesn't walk with an upright posture, which is like gaiva, which is like avodah zarah. Rather, he's a humble person. That's a sign, obviously, that he is a righteous person. When it says ve'eshes re'ei le'itime, that he doesn't defile the wife of his friend, not doing adultery doesn't make a person into a tzaddik. Rather, means shle'yared lo'umnis chaver. Means he doesn't go and enter into a craft that would infringe on his friend, which is like a person's wife. It's the same type of idea. That's already a tzaddik who's so careful even with that. And when it says, V'l'il isha nida le'kirv, that he doesn't come close to the menstruating woman to cohabit with her, again, that doesn't make a person a tzaddik. Rather, what it means, shle'nen mekubah shel tzedakah, that he doesn't benefit from the charity collections, which is degrading for an upstanding person, like a nida, in that sense of cohabiting with a nida. That's the same idea that's alluding to where, yes, uksiv, and that, regarding that, the pasuk says, tzaddik who is righteous, choye yiche, he shall surely live. Now, when Amlil would reach this pasuk in Yecheskel, he would cry and he would say, it sounds like from this pasuk, whoever does all those things will surely live. But if someone does only one of these things, which is each one is a very high level, then he's not going to live. To which I'm later, B'Kiva said to him, wait a second. If that would be the case that you think you need all of them, then when the Pasuk says to Meyikra, Al Teitame B'Chaleila, do not become impure with all these things, Hachinami, you would think and to interpret that Pasuk B'Kulu in only if someone does all those things regarding that the Torah is talking about, they regarding Tama, only then does the person become Tame. With one of them not. It's not true. We know that if a person does maga or masa or oil or sheretz or neither, whatever it is, a person becomes tummy with one of those things. So ela ba'achas makalele rather means one of them. Achanami ba'achas makalele here also means one of those things is already enough to make a person a tzaddik. And David, don't cry. If you reach one of these levels, you're ready. Chaya yichya shall surely live. Now the Mishnah said that if ava avera, if a person commits a sin which is punishable for death, so there was machlekes, does he get the most severe, like the Tanakhama said, death penalty? Or as like Rabbi said, that he gets the first penalty, and not necessarily the most severe. So the Gemara explained, Tanya in the Braisa, Ketzer Amar Rabbi, how was this case that Rabbi was talking about when he said, Nidon bezika rishon habolav, that the person gets judged by the first thing that pulls that comes to the person. In other words, regarding the first violation, the first prohibition that we need to judge him regarding that he had violated and to separate, regarding that is he judged, but not regarding the prohibition which comes last, even if it's the most severe one. Because Rabbi Yisi holds, in Irsachal Alisser, a prohibition does not take effect on already a previous prohibition, even if it's the most severe one on the lighter one. So therefore, he's not going to get these two death penalties. Rather, the first one that he gets is what he gets. The second one, although he committed a more severe death penalty, he's not going to get that one. So what's the case? Says the Braisa, Chamoise Venase Eshesish, where she was first his mother-in-law, and then she became a married woman. In other words, he married the daughter of a widow, which then his wife's mother became forbidden to him because she's his mother-in-law. Then his mother-in-law got married, and now she's even forbidden to anyone, including her son-in-law, because she's a married woman, she's an HSS. That's Rabbi Yisi says, Nidin b'cham leise. So he gets judged by the first prohibition that she would beat to him, which is that about Sreifa, because the mother-in-law element was the first one. But if let's say she was an HSS, let's say she was a married woman, which is there's a couple and they have a daughter. Venasus Chamoise, and after that she was forbidden to him because she's a married woman, then she became his mother-in-law. And that is because he then married her daughter, which she was already forbidden to him because she was a married woman. Now, moreover, she's going to be his mother-in-law. Now the prohibition of mother-in-law cannot take effect on the already previous Isra that this woman was forbidden to him because she was a married woman. And therefore, Nidin Me'eshesh, therefore she's going to get judged, although this woman that he's having relations with is both his mother-in-law and the married woman. But it's only the first Isra that there was on him, which made her forbidden to him, which was, in this case, the Eishes Ish. So therefore, he's only going to get in this situation, Chenek, and not the more severe one of Sreifa, of being his mother-in-law. Now, the Gemara asks, Amli Ravad Barava Larava, says, regarding this case of Chamoise Venasa Eishes Ish, when she was first his mother-in-law, because she was never forbidden to him, she was a single woman. But then he married her daughter, so she was his mother-in-law. But then she became a married woman, because then she, after he married the daughter, then she went and married another man. So Rabbi Yisi said, Nidin b'chamoise, the Braisa explained, so he gets judged based on the more severe one in this case, because the first one that was forbidden to him, because the second Issa cannot take effect in either way, whether it's Kal or Chomer, so he gets judged by the halacha of her being his mother-in-law, which is Sreifa. On that he asked him, to Rava, but Lidinamia Isra Eshesish, even though we said, in explanation of Rabbi Yisi, that Ein Issachal Alissa, a prohibition, cannot take effect on something that's already prohibited to him. It's already forbidden because of whether it be Chamoise, and then Eshesh cannot take effect, or Eshesh and Chamoise cannot take effect. But he said, but in this case, actually, he should be judged, even for the prohibition of her being a married woman. Why? How could that take effect on Chamoise? So Amr Bavo, because Rabbi Bavo said in the Masech Tzivam as a Perek Dalet Achen, that Moed Rabbi Yisi, although Rabbi Yisi holds Ein Issachal Alissa, he agrees Be'isr Maisiv, when there is an additional prohibition. In other words, when it introduces something new regarding this woman, who she was already forbidden to him because of one element, but if it introduces a new idea to make her forbidden on somebody who was not forbidden to her up until now, like in this case, where she was a widow, and she was permitted to everyone. She's not a married woman. Then she became this man's mother-in-law. So she was only forbidden to him because she was his mother-in-law, but she was permitted to everyone else. Then when she got married to a man, she became an Eishes Ish. So then that Isra of Eishes Ish introduced something that now makes her forbidden to the entire world. In such a situation, Rabbi Yossi agrees that the Isser will be Chal on their first Isser, and now this man will not be forbidden only to his mother-in-law because of Chamoisei, but even because of Eishes Ish. Why? Based on Amigui. In other words, since that new Isser takes effect, and it definitely takes effect on her because of everyone in the world who was permitted to her up until now, and now they're only forbidden because of Eishes Ish, so that designation takes effect in her, and therefore it takes effect even on him, even though she was already forbidden to him once before because of being his mother-in-law. So Rabbi Yossi agrees in that situation, Issa Chal Issa. So why are you saying that Rabbi Yossi holds that he's going to get Sreifa because of Chamaisai and not the additional Issa of Eishes Ish? But why? It's Issa Maisa. Rabbi Yossi agrees that then Issa would be Chal Issa. So now the Gemara continues on his base, and Amalei, he responded to him, he says, Adabri, my son Adab, betray Katli Katlisle? Do you want to kill him two times? In other words, you're right. I agree to you that both of those Isurim of Chamoisai and Eishes Ish take effect on this person. And it's considered a sin that has two death penalties. But in that case, Rabbi Yossi would agree that he's going to get the more severe death penalty, which is the original one of Chamoisai, of Sreifa. But how are you going to go ahead and say that we should additionally kill him because of Eishes Ish? You can't kill him two times. And if we have to choose between the two, we're not going to give Chenek, which is Eishes Ish, but rather we're going to give the first one, which is Sreifa. Now, when, however, would it take effect? Eishes Ish on Chamoisai according to Rabbi Yossi that we say he agrees by Isser Maisiv? That would be regarding when he does it B'Shagig. He didn't realize that this was his mother-in-law. He mixed her up with his wife. And then there would be a Chiv of Chattas. Then he would be liable for two Karbanos Chattas, that one of because his mother-in-law, and then the Isser Maisiv of Eishes Ish. But regarding this halacha that we're talking about in the Brice, we're talking about death penalties there, we're not going to add on Eishes Ish when the first one is already there, and that's the most severe of the two anyway. Now, continuing on a related discussion regarding someone that's not killed in the traditional way. So, Mishalaka Vishana, if someone got lashes and then repeated the sin, so the halacha is, he got lashes two times for two sins, says the Mishnah, Bezdin machnisin oisit l'kipa. So what the court does is that they put him in this cell, and they give him barley to eat, until his stomach bursts, and then that's how he dies. Now explains the Gemara, Mishum delokah vishana, what, because he got lashes, and he got lashes a second time, so Bezdin kreisin oisit l'kipa, so they put him into this cell, and they wait till he dies, and they burst. Where do we find such a halacha? So Amr b'shim malakah, she explains, halacha b'malkah shal kreisus haskin, and what we're talking about over here are not just any lashes. A person could definitely violate an isser, which would get him to have lashes a few times. Rather means to say, it's a negative prohibition that has a punishment of Karis of being killed through the hands of heaven. And they warned him, they said, if you do the sin, you're going to get lashes. Where the halacha really is the Gavr Bar Katalu, he's really a dead man because from the hands of heaven, they're going to cut off his life, they're going to kill him. But Ukruvehu Delei Mikrev Katli, however, his time for death has not yet come. Heaven has not seen to now just kill him on the spot for his violation of Karis. But since this person is just giving up on his life, where he's just making himself hefker to do sin after sin, we see he did it one time and he's doing it a second time. So we bring his death sentence closer. In other words, heaven's going to kill him, but they're not killing him yet. But here this guy's mafker himself, he's just wantingly giving up on his soul and just committing the same sin multiple times. So then we go ahead and we kill him, but we can't do a Mises Bezdin. So we put him into the cell and we give him this barley, which will make his stomach burst and let him die by his own hands. Now, Amalei Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Tachlif, he says, Ta Azmullah, come, I'll explain to you that B'malkiyah shel Karis Achas, when we said that, yeah, it's not just any lash, it's talking about lashes of a violation which has Karis attached to it. Additionally, it has to be that he violated this sin three times. Now, the first two times he got lashes, it's on the third time that they bring him into the cell, but it has to be that it was the same sin. But if he did, and he got lashes for different types of Karis violations two or three times, then Isur Hu Dekomatam is just experimenting, he's testing out different violations. He's not giving up on his life so much. There's a difference between someone that's stuck in an addiction and continuing with the same thing than someone who's just experimenting with different things. Although it's definitely prohibited and it's a definitely a gross violation for his soul, but it's not something that we say that he gave up and that we should just make his life end quicker, because he's experimenting. And in that situation, even though it was Malkus Shakaras of three times, we don't put him in the box and cause his death to come closer. Now the Mishnah, when it described this halacha, it said, Misha Laka Vishanim. If someone got lashes and he did a second time, oh, then we put him in the box and we have his stomach burst until he dies. Says the Gemara, Shana, sounds like that he did it once and he repeated two times. Avagav Dle Shilish, even though he didn't do it three times. Says the Gemara, Lay Masnitin, is that to say that our Mishnah that says that getting lashes two times already establishes him that this person as a sinner and he already needs to be put in the box? That is the like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It's not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why? Because the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel ha'amar, but he says, it's brought in Masechet Yevamos, this machlekes, that if a man marries a woman one time and that husband dies, then she marries a second person and that husband dies. Now, the halacha says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that she can marry a husband a third time, but a fourth time she cannot. Why? Because says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, atla zimni lo have a chazaka, up until three times, that's not yet establishing chazaka, where there's a halacha called katlanis. We presume that this woman kills men. And the Gemara they discuss is how that's possible. But that three guys she can marry. Once she killed three husbands, then she cannot marry a fourth one. And so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, but up until three, she has not created a chazaka that she kills her husbands. Now our Mishnah says after two times, which is like Rebbe that creates a chazaka. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel seems to say you need three times. So seemingly our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon says, no, filotema, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you could even say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Because Kesavah, he holds, Aveirois Machzikois. It's the sin itself that establishes this individual with a chazaka of being a wicked person, which is with the warning and not with the lashes. So therefore, on the third time, we then bring him into the box because he already has established himself a sinner by sinning three times. You're right, he didn't get lashes three times, but you don't need the lashes, it's the sin, and he sinned three times. So if someone got lashes and got lashes a second time, the third time he sins is the third time, which is the chazaka, even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, then we put him into the box. However, the Gemara asked Meisavit. The Gemara asked on this interpretation of Ravina, where he wanted to explain that the halacha of a Mishnah could even be like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He asked him the following brisa. The brisa says this halacha: Aver aveira sheish b'malkus. If someone violates a sin that has lashes, pam rishayna one time, vishnia and a second time. So Malkin says, so those two times they give him lashes. Ushlishis in the third time, kinsonlisli kippa, they put him into the box. Abishalim, he says, no, af bashlishis malkanois, even the third time they give him lashes. Brevius, kinsonlisli kippa, and the fourth time is they put him into the box. Says the Gemara, my love, isn't it talking about the kuliyama that everyone in this price agrees that malkis machzikis? It's the lashes that creates the chazaka. That seems to be the only way we can interpret it. Ubeplukter the Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon Kamifl again, what's their machlekis? In the machlekis, Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. Now, from the fact that Abishal disagrees and says, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that you need to have four times, it obviously would seem to be that the Tanakama, who says the same terminology as our Mishnah, that it's enough with two times and then going on to the third, that's not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So that seems to contradict Ravina, who wanted to interpret that, no, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds you don't need the Malkis, it's the Aveira, it's the Asra. So therefore, it could even be getting lashes two times, which then the third time is three times in. But then how are you going to explain the Abishal? Abishal seems to be clearly taking the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that actually you have to get lashes three times. And then the fourth time is when he gets put into the box. So obviously, Tanakama, like is the same opinion like our Mishnah, is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So it's like, no. The Kula Amma Isil Hu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we could say that, like Ravina had said, that everyone, even Tanakama, holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that a chazaka is only established with three times, not two like Rabbi. Again, so what are they disagreeing in this brisa? As follows. The Marsa with the Tanakama held Averis Machzikas. It's the sins that create the chazaka. So getting lashes two times, the third time, when he commits the sin third time, even if Shimon would agree, you put him in the box. But a Marsa, but Abishol held the Malkias Machzikas, that it's the lashes that creates the chazaka. So therefore, he does not have a chazaka of being a sinner until he gets three times lashes. Now, once he gets lashes on the third time, even though now he's already been established that he has a chazaka as a rasha, but you don't put him then in the box then until he sins a fourth time, because you can't give him two judgments for that same third sin. You're already giving him lashes for that third sin. You can't give him a judgment for putting him into that cell. So that's why Abishal says that you have to wait till the fourth time. But could be everyone, like Ravina said, agrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. By that the Gemara asks, but what the Tanya, but in this day we learn the Braisa that says as follows. Hisru bei v'shasak, if they warned the guy before he was sinning, and he was silent. In other words, he showed as if he heard and he understands and accepts the warning, but he didn't open himself up to agreeing verbally to accept the punishment of lashes. Or as let's say, similarly, Hisru bei v'hikran reisha, they warned him, and he shook his head. He signaled that he accepts it, even though these two types of cases, the individual actually will not get the lashes, because the halacha requires that he actually has to verbalize and say that he accepts this punishment. However, they're still considered valid warnings to establish him as a wicked person. So, therefore, the halacha is as follows. Pamri Shaina, the first time, they warn him, and they leave him alone. So to the second time, Bishniya, they when he commits the second sin, Masrimbay, they warn him, and they leave him alone. But Shleishis, the third time, then they warn him and they tell him, look, you're going to get lashes. And afterwards, kind of nicely keep, they put him into the cell regarding the third time sinning, because he has already established his status as a wicked person with sinning three times, where he was warned regarding the lashes. Abba Sholem, he says, no, af b'shlishas masrim, but even regarding the third time they warn him, b'revias kind of nicely keep, only the fourth time he sins, then they put him into the cell. Says the Gemara, v'hasa malchus leka, and there's no lashes. In other words, there, he did not open himself up to getting lashes, because as we said, he was only silent. So therefore, you can't say, as we were explaining before, that the reason of Abishol was because, like Ravina said, oh, because it's the lashes that establishes him as a wicked person, and the chazakah is not until he gets lashes. Now, so we said, since he gets lashes on the third time, so you can't put him into the box until the fourth time. The problem is, we just described this individual, although we warned him and he sinned four times, there was never yet lashes in the first place. So therefore, asked the Gemara, but my kemethliki, so then what is their machlekes? Now, as Rashi explains, this Gemara's question is not asking just on Ravina, because the question is difficult on us too. Because we can't say, as we were trying to explain before, not like Ravina, that their machlekes, Abba Shaul and the Tanakhama was the machlekes Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel, because obviously that they both agree in this Brisa that the Averis are what's machzik, because there's no lashes. So therefore, why does Abba Shaul require a fourth time? If it's the sin, at least the third time is already sinning three times, maybe even the second time. But for sure the third time, why would he require fourth time? Can't say four because having three lashes, because there's no lashes in this guy. He never gets lashes. He never was makabel verbally to get lashes. So Amar Ravina, Ravina explains that both over here and in the first Braisa, Bekipa Tzricha Hasrokim Efliki, what they're disagreeing about regarding is regarding the punishment of putting him in the cell, does that require a Hasra? So therefore, everyone agrees to Rabbi Shimon Liel, and the Chazakah is not until that there were three sins of warning for lashes that he accepted, whether verbally or whether silently or by shaking his head. The machlekes is regarding the punishment of putting in the cell, does that require hasra? Tanakhama holds that once he's established to be a sinner for regarding the three times he was warned that he's going to get lashes, so although he doesn't get lashes, but then they put him into the cell, even though he wasn't warned that he's going to get put in the cell, because that doesn't need a warning. Whereas Abba Shaul holds that regarding the first three warnings of the lashes, okay, when he sins those three times, although he doesn't get lashes, but okay, that's already machzik him as a rasha. But not regarding two, because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel always requires three. Now, however, it's only now that on the fourth sin, when he's about to do it, that then they warn him, and they say, look, if you violate this, then you'll get the punishment of the cell. That is what they're disagreeing with, where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, where Abba Shaul holds that it's you also have to have a warning for the keeper. So you could only warn him after the third time, and now for the fourth time is when he gets the warning. That's why it has to be four violations, according to Abba Shaul, to get the punishment of being put into the cell. But again, everyone agrees to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And even the Tana of our Mishnah requires three times, which that's the luck of Hashanah, is because you'll get at least three Averis. Now the Gemara clarifies, my keeper, what is this punishment about being put in the cell? What's the parameters? I'm Rabbi Yehuda. This is Malika Masa. It's a cell that's exactly the height of the individual. And he gets put into that cell, and again, he gets fed those barley, and that's how he dies. So ask the Gemara of Hecher Remiza. In other words, most definitely, this is a halacha l'Moshe Messina. It's an oral law that was passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu regarding this punishment about being put in the cell. But where is it at least somewhat alluded to in the Torah? So Rish Lakish, he says, quoting a pasuk in Tehillim, it says, "To Maisei Sarasha, the death of the wicked, Ra is evil, In other words, someone that's established to be a wicked person, his death will be through his own evil. But one thing you see from the pasuk is that someone that's established to be a wicked person is someone that's deserving of death, whether it be specifically through his own handiwork, but he's going to be deserving of death. That's what we say, although we're not going to execute him, Mises Bezdin, but this is someone who's already established a chazaka that he's a wicked person. As we said, it's regarding Malchus of Kernitzis, and if it's the same exact sin and he's repeating it again, that's when we go and we put him into that cell. Vam Rish Lakish, now once we mentioned one teaching of Rish Lakish explaining a pasuk, so we bring another drush of Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish says, Maidich said, what does it mean the pasuk in Kehelis? Ki gam lo yada, because he also doesn't know, gam lo yada ha'odim is ita, that a person doesn't know his end. Ki dogim shenachazim b'metzu dero, like a fish who gets caught in a bad trap. Says the Gemara, my metzu dero, what does it mean a bad trap? Am Rish Lakish, he says, chako, it means a hook. Which is something that's inferior, it's weak and it's small, it's a bad, it's imagine a huge fish suddenly getting caught unbeknownst and not seeing it and getting stuck on a hook. That you can't compare to getting stuck on a huge net and a huge trap with all set out. At least that's somewhat of a consolation. But getting caught on a hook, on a small little thing, that's a type of a death. Like Leodah Admasita, the person doesn't know, he feels like he's the strongest, nothing could happen, and suddenly a little thing could go ahead and take him down. That's what the pasuk means, that Kedogim Shenachazim Mitzudera. Now, continuing on a similar type of halacha, the previous mishnah regarding machnisim ois lekipa, when the punishment is that they put him into the cell, ha'harig nefesh shalei be'edim, if someone kills somebody without witnesses, where then the court can't execute him, machnisim ois lekipa, what they do is they put him into the cell, machil nois lechem tzad, they give him a very small amount of bread, umayim lachatz, and a very scant amount of water, and that's how he dies. Which the Gemara later is going to ask, why is this different than the previous Mishnah when they said they give him barley? And here it talks about that they give him some small rations of food. But first the Gemara asks, Menoya Dinan. If you're saying that there's no witnesses, and that's why we can't execute him with Mises Bezdin, then how do we know to then give him this punishment about putting him in the cell and him dying that way? So Amarav, he says, Be'edus Miuchedus. We're talking about a distinct type of witnesses where there are two witnesses who could testify regarding this crime that this person had done, where he had murdered someone. And therefore, that we know their testimony is true. It's just that the court can't execute based on their testimony. For example, let's say when you have two people who saw the crime, but each one was looking from a different window, where the Gemara says in Masechet Makos Daf Vav Mabez, where we can't execute based on that testimony. But in such a case, since we know that he ultimately did kill because we have two witnesses, so in that case, our Mishnah tells us, you put him in the cell. But you're right, if let's say we only know based on one person's testimony, that actually would just be Lashon Hara, because has no value whatsoever. You need at least two people to testify to know that a fact is true. Shmuel, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Shalei Basra. We're talking about where, yeah, there was witnesses who saw it, but they didn't warn. And without a warning, you can't execute. And so, since we know that he killed, so then we put him into the cell. Rav Chisda Amar Avime, he gives a third interpretation. He says, "Kigoyin deiskachish bebedikis." It's talking about where the witnesses were refuted because of the special types of questions they asked the witnesses. But deiskachish bechakiris, they were not contradicted on the fundamental seven questions which are interrogated by the witnesses to make sure that what they're saying is valid. But regarding all these peripheral questions, that's where they got stuck on. Like we learned the Mishnah on the Mem that it says Maiso Bodik Ben Zake, there was an incident that Ben Zake checked witnesses with something so peripheral like Beuktei Te'enim, that what was the stem of the figs, which are excess types of questions. Now, so although, yeah, Ben Zake in that incident let the person off from being executed because of this refutation of the witnesses where they said a little differently, but we know what they're saying is true. And because the Chakiris all were, which are the primary questions. In such a situation, so although we can't execute him, then we put him into the keep, into the cell, and we let him die that gruesome death. Now, the Mishnah said what we do with him in the cell is, Machil nasi lechem tzara, mayim lachatz, we give him a small amount of bread and a small amount of water. Ask the Gemara, Maish nahocha diktani nasi lechem tzara, mayim lachatz, why in the halach of our Mishnah? We would describe that we can't execute him, so we put him in the cell and we give him a small amount of food. What's the difference in the previous Mishnah, where it talks about a similar type of a person, where we can't execute him, but he's deserving of death, where it's diktani, there the Mishnah teaches, when we put him in the cell, we give him barley teat, until his stomach bursts. Why is it different in these two Mishnahs? So Amar Sheshes actually says, no, idi, they're actually both supplement and reflect on each other. By both of them, you first, as our Mishnah says, you give him a small amount of bread, a small amount of water, until his intestines shrink. V'hadar, and then, like the previous Mishnah said, machil noisei sa'arim, then you give him barley to eat, which then bursts open in his intestines. And since his intestines have already shrunk, so at shekresim espakas, until his stomach bursts because it's so small and his stomach cannot digest these barley, which then bursts forth, it's actually a combination of the two Mishnayos, how we kill him. Now, similar to the previous Mishnayos, which again is regarding a death penalty that's not through the bezin itself, says the Mishnah, "Goinav es hakasav." If someone steals a kasav, which we'll explain what that is, or v'hamakalal b'kaisim, if someone curses God through this type of sorcery of kaisim, or v'haboyel aramis, if someone cohabits with the daughter of an idol worshipper, so the halacha is regarding these three halachas that kanoyin, that upstanding individuals who take revenge for the sake of Hashem, pagan boy, they could kill this individual, like we find in Pasuk Melachim Aleph, Lecha Bakaboy means to kill. So they could go ahead, at the time when they see this action being done, they could kill that individual. But if it's at a later point in time, then that's not a death penalty that's given over to the courts. And this Halacha should be seen, at the time they see it, then the Kanoi, this person that's taking vengeance for Hashem, could kill that person. A similar Halacha regarding not being done through the Bezdin, Kain Sheshimish B'tumah, for Kain serves in the Beis HaMikdash in the state of ritual impurity, so his brothers, the Kohen, don't bring him to the court to execute him. The young Kohanim take him out outside of the courtyard. They break open his skull with these clubs. Another halacha, if a foreigner, a non-Kohen, does the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, he says that the person gets killed with strangulation. The sages say, bidei shemayim, through the hand of heaven. Now, the Gemara clarifies my kasva. What was this case when we said if someone steals a kasva, so kanon pagan boy? On Rabbi Huda, it's klei sharis, which refers to the vessels that are used in the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Because v'cheinu oimer, so do we find the pasuk Me'midbar that says ves kisayis hanesach, and the shelving tubes, which is the same word of kasva, that's an example of the klei sharis, which if someone steals that, kanon pagan boy, kanon could kill him. Says the Gemara v'hecher emiza, and where is it alluded to that it's appropriate that there should be death penalty by someone who steals klei sharis? So says the Gemara, it says in Bamidbar, they should not come to see kevala es ha-kodesh, that when the kodesh is kevala, v'meso, and they will die. Now, the word kevala could refer to thievery, where when a thief steals, so he conceals it and he hides it. So this is just an illusion, but we're not learning this out from the pasuk, because the primary pasuk is actually talking about the Levim. They were warned not to see when they were taking all these encampments and leaving and the journeys in the Midbar, at the time when then they had to take the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan and put it into their encasings. So Aaron and his sons would cover the Aaron and the Mizbeach, as the pasuk says over there, and Aaron, when they would come, he would do it, and it's telling Levim they shouldn't see when it's being put into its casings, because or else they might die. But again, it does allude to the halacha of kevala, which is geneva, that kind of pagan could kill him. So to the Mishnah said, "Vamakal b'kaisim." If someone curses God with the kaisamis, he's also kanon pagan. But so the Tanur Rav Yisrael taught a brisa that someone who curses towards God with kaisam, it refers to Yaakov kaisam es kaisama. He says that let the kaisam, this sorcery itself, curse its kaisam, the one who gave it its powers, meaning referring to Hashem, where he thinks about this kaisam as if it has any powers and that it should be a source of cursing towards God. Whereas Rabbanan, Itam, and some say it was Rabbi Bar Mori Amri, they said that it's actually someone who's cursing his friend. And he says, Yakehu Kaisim, let this Kaisim kill this person, which is life for him, Ulukaina Ulamakna, into his creator, into the one who gave all this energy into the world, which is referring to Hashem, who he created the world, and he was Makna to the creations, all the good. That's what it means of Hamakal B'Kaisim, either means it's directly to Hashem or to this individual, going all the way back to Hashem. If someone that does that is Kanon Pagan Boy, someone that stands up for the justice of Hashem, could kill that person at that moment.